You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Monday's edition of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. Yes, we're back because football, Scottish Football Premiership is almost back. We're almost there. It's but 3 days away. Annoyingly, if you're a Hibs fan, it is 3 days away. I'm not really that fussed by it coming back, to be honest. Could we have just games at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock for another month, please? Maybe just not in a despotic regime. That'd be fantastic. Anyway, that's rambling a bit too much. I'm joined here by Graham Fewless.
Hello, Duncan.
And Ewan Taylor.
Hello, Duncan.
Ewan, you're sounding particularly like someone that hasn't just wolfed a load of toast and smoked salmon.
and cream cheese. It was lovely.
And cream cheese. Oh, right. You're doing nothing to dissuade people about image about Rangers lawyers.
I was going to sprinkle some dill on it, but I couldn't find any, sadly.
Oh, so, okay.
Just on the season returning, it does have a real like sort of last week of the school holidays vibe for me at the moment. It's just like I keep looking at the fixtures, being like, "Are you fucking do this again? Are we sure? We thought about this. We've only got about 9 players, mate."
You're right. It's a bit like, you know, when you get the new timetable for your next year after you've done your exams, like, and you come back to it and you're like, ah, come on. Like,
this week, who are we kidding here?
We're not doing any work.
This week is essentially my mum taking me to buy like new trousers before the start of S2. Like, why? Like, this is rubbish. Don't want any of this. Can we not, like, genuinely, if we just played all the Premiership games at like 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 8 o'clock, we could probably finish the season by about April, March.
We could wrap it by February, I would say.
Let's just do that, and we can all get on with the rest of our year without having to watch fucking Motherwell.
So, as you might have guessed by the title of the show, we've been asked to look at what we've got wrong about the season so far, seeing as we are, I suppose the season did start for some of us way back in the sunny days of July, and now I've not seen the sunlight since I don't know when. So, that gives, you know, about 5 months worth of predictions and things that we thought might happen, and we're primarily looking at the Premiership team, so we'll kind of go through probably a prediction each for each team, and I'm going to just go in a wild order, and I'm going to start with Livingston. Why not? Let's go with Livingston. Ewan, what did you get wrong about Livingston? Did you have anything for this? Because there might not be for all these teams.
Livingston, I mean, they're sort of, they'd be one of the few teams I would say, I mean, this would be a considerably shorter podcast if we were doing it on things that we'd predicted correctly for the season ahead. But Livingston are probably the one team that I would say they're more or less doing, because Livingston are just doing Livingston. I mean, maybe they're doing slightly, you know, better than I thought, but that's probably only because other teams have done much worse than I thought they would. Livingston are probably the team that performs best to their sort of budget and abilities most seasons, and I think that's just the case again. I mean, I was looking at who I predicted would be their best signing, worst signing, and I think I said the boy Kankar.
Yep.
Him as a worst signing, he's probably not been that good, but you know, but they just, it doesn't really matter who plays for Livingston, who they sign, they're just, you know, pretty good, and that's just been the case again this season.
In fairness, I had their worst signing as Scott Bitson do, which appears to be absolutely spot on.
Oh yeah, well done. Is he one of the ones that Fowler sort of almost got cancelled for by confusing him with another guy of a similar race that actually does get a game for them? I think you treat the situation, I'm sure. But yeah, is he the one that's on loan, or both, I think, is he?
Or, yes, yeah. He is on loan at bottom of the table in the Championship or both. So, yeah, I've done all right there.
He's not shooting the lights out. Fair play.
So my feeling was, I don't know why I thought this would be the case, but I really thought that Ishmael Goncalves was going to have screwed the nut and he was going to turn it around, and Davey Martindale is exactly the type of guy that could get something out of him, and his appearances so far suggest that, or lack of appearances so far suggest that is absolutely not the case, and he is exactly who we all know him to be, and given the amount of chances he has had, still will probably always, but just by virtue of his talent alone, continue to get clubs, but
he'll still, before the end of the season, as long as he's not emptied in January, before the end of the season, he will still do something outrageously good at football, in addition to something outrageously just outrageous before the end of the season. Because I kind of feel like his time at Livingston has just been kind of like slowly bubbling of just, you've been quite bad ultimately, like you're just not really offering a huge amount. But I do feel at some point before the end of the season, we'll get, I feel, as long as he stays there and isn't emptied in January, I think we'll get a bit of both before the end of the season, just because that's how things work.
I think that seems right. I think you'll get that one highlight that he can stick on a YouTube reel that his agent can stick around, and he'll join, I don't know, a third tier German club and then Cyprus and stuff, whatever.
Somewhere in Greece.
Somewhere in Greece. I've opened up a random number generator between 1 and 12, and it's taken us to our next club, which is the current league leaders, Celtic Football Club. Graham, what were your, have you got anything wrong about Celtic this season?
I had Moritz Jentsch down as their worst signing, but ultimately, like, did they make a bad signing? But like, my Rangers ones are much better. And we'll get to that. My Rangers ones, we'll get to that, because my Rangers ones are much worse and much more chaotic. But I had them as top of the league. I had Postecoglou as manager of the year. I had Jota as best signing, which is kind of a cheat because he's already been here, but again, he's been very good. Moritz Jentsch is worth signing, which again might be true, might not be true, just depending on which particular thing you want to look at with them, because everyone that they brought in has done pretty well.
Yeah. I had Jentsch as well as the worst signing, and I think that might be the case. One thing I thought would happen, which hasn't happened, is that I thought Bernabe would replace Greg Taylor quite easily, and that's definitely not been the case. Taylor's been one of Celtic's probably most consistent players across the whole season, which is saying something.
And not in trouble with authorities.
Yes,
which is also
as far as we know. Bernabe just had, when he hasn't been getting arrested, he's not been that great. He doesn't look like he can really defend that well at the moment. He's had his moments going forward, he's not. I thought that was probably the easiest position for Celtic to improve upon in the summer, to be honest. But Greg Taylor's really kicked on, much to Craig Anderson's delight. I can't actually see Bernabe getting in the team this season. On a regular basis, I think it's going to take longer if he is going to supplant Taylor at all.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just amazed that they've not had really a dud signing yet. This is an incredibly prolonged
McCarthy
hot streak.
I suppose. Gucci, don't forget, don't sleep on Gucci. He's been fucking dreadful. His only thing at Celtic that was, if you see, like, not that I'm a big fan of looking at pictures like this, but pictures of Celtic, you know, having won the league and they're celebrating all that, and all the Japanese boys are, so you've got, you know, Maeda, Furuhashi, Hitachi, and there's clearly another guy that's just been cropped out of all the photos. and it's Gucci.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he just, like, and I constantly, like, you know, if you're ever watching Celtic and like a friendly or like a, you know, a Diddy Cup game or whatever, and you think, who the fuck's that guy? It's Gucci. but sadly, apparently he's away in January. So,
you say sadly as if anybody is going to notice.
No, yeah. I just think it's sort of comedy value.
I had a thought that Moy would be a dud, but he's not going to take them very far in Europe. But he's entirely very very capable for what they need to do in the league.
Yeah,
and you know, that's kind of where they are. They're every signing they've made has kind of been a sensible gamble. They've not really, you know, pushed the bunny out. And then you look at, I've just also like, you have to say they've not kicked out anyone. There's not pushed anyone that they lost in the summer that you can say, oh, that actually that was a big loss. You know, I think they said for a while they would miss Julien, but ultimately, Rogic,
but not. I mean, you can't say that Celtic have struggled for creativity or goals or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, Rogic is Celtic, been, I think.
You know, but a Yeti, you know, I forgot that he was still on their books, you know, like, yeah,
I think,
like,
he's still there.
Yeah, no, he's on Strum Graz on loan.
Is he on loan?
So, but yeah, you know, they've not, no one's left that you've been like, oh, well, that, you know, that was, that's a that the, they've had the downgrade or they have problems. So, yeah, I think they're regrettably they're going to canter to,
moving on quickly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, and I amazingly, like, as if I'm running the SFA in the 80s, it seems like I've got pulling out the old firm together, or not together. Rangers are the next one up in the number generator. Ewan, let's go to you first.
Well, things have not gone quite as I had planned, / predicted, / hoped. I might have thought that Rabbi Botondo would be our best signing. Blown away as I was with his performances and friendlies, and incidentally he was quite good in the friendly we've just played against Bayer Leverkusen there, so it looks like the boy is tremendous in friendlies only.
My nephew that went to that game,
second
game seeing Rangers, they've both been friendlies and both times come away has been hugely impressed by, well, Rabbi Matundo is his favourite player as a result.
He's got an eye for a player, he can be a podcaster. Yeah. So this season has not gone, I mean, I always say there's no point in going into a season thinking your team's going to be shite, so you've got to go in with a little bit of optimism.
Manager 24 hours before the season started,
exactly, and then you went into the first game at first fixture absolutely buzzing, weren't you? You're buzzing. Stevie Hamill was, you know, there's a lot of excitement there. So, I mean, you might have gone into the first game of the, you know, European campaign not thinking much was good was going to happen, and that was correct.
And that was absolutely correct.
but generally,
I have not been disappointed in the slightest.
I sort of thought we would do better. I mean, I think if you put a gun to my head and you said, are Rangers going to win the league this season? I think I probably would have said no, but I did. Officially, I predicted that we'd win the treble. Yeah. I mean,
what happened to no surrender?
Well, it was probably, yeah. Well, that's why you're on you're publicly no surrender, but privately surrender. I'm afraid. And I thought it was quite obvious that obviously Celtic last season, you know, the overall sort of points tally to win the league wasn't that high, but that's because Celtic had a worst start in decades. But obviously they picked up after that, and it was quite clear this season it was going to be, you know, you're going to have to probably hit 100 points to win the league, if not more than that. So it was always a bit unlikely that the Rangers were going to be able to do that under Van Bronckhorst anyway, because just the way he set the team up, it was, you know, draws are quite likely because we don't really try to kill teams off. So we shall see what happens under Mr. Beal. But yeah, this season is just, it feels like a sort of, bit of a waste of a half of 6 months, really. We've just gone backwards, so we shall see. I did predict that John Souter would be our worst signing, and so far he's had like however many minutes he played against Livingston, just getting absolutely destroyed by Joel Nubley, and then he's been injured apart from that. So that was correct.
That was exactly how I predicted his time at Rangers would go. So I'm feeling quite good about that.
But yeah,
I had Ridvan Yilmaz as my best signing after I got tricked by all those boys pretending to watch Turkish football last year.
You might come good yet.
No, I hope they're
all very happy with themselves.
What you confuse is a load of lads going to Turkey. And taking an interest in the follicle yes. treatments yes. that you can get.
And on the flip side, I had Ben Davies as worth signing, so that's probably arguably not far off either.
Most of the signings, like in isolation, either make sense or you can't really judge them yet. Some, you know, Matondo is probably the worst one because he was quite expensive and has been absolutely brutal. But the rest of them, like, they could still come good, but like they weren't going to under Van Bronckhorst, so we'll see what happens now. But I don't think you could say, other than maybe Čolak, I don't think you could really say any of them have been that great either. So just a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I had down as kind of a surprise the idea that I don't know why I'm surprised actually that Scottish clubs would bite the bullet with a manager so quickly, but it is. Just over six months since Seville, and you were in the final of a cup. And again, we've talked about this many a time. I suppose that run masked a lot of utterly indifferent league play, which the run kind of gave you an excuse to. That was the reason for that. That felt like that was the reason for the league being lackluster, and then you suddenly realise, oh no, that was the pattern that wasn't in
that's the deal.
Doing really well in Europe.
That's fair, but not a stellar season so far. We shall see. But the treble's still on, obviously. I did predict that at the start of the season. Seems unlikely Van Bronckhorst is going to win Manager of the Year, as I predicted. Unless it's, you know, someone tries to be really clever and works. he set the groundwork. But I suspect we will not win the treble, but at the moment it's still good.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Ewan, we're moving to a team that have had a stinker of a season, even more so than Rangers, and that is Dundee United. And I'll go first. And the prediction I got wrong is I thought Jack Ross was going to be a success at Dundee United. I thought that was going to work out. I thought that should fit him quite well. And I have been completely shown up for that.
Yeah. I thought it was a great appointment.
I had them at fourth place, which is still possible, still feasible. Yeah. I mean, broadly, anyone can finish anywhere still, but they are fucking stinking.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the sort of overall like things I got wrong is I really thought there would be like quite a defined early on top six, in that I thought you'd have the Old Firm, Aberdeen had strengthened, Hearts were going to be at least as good as they were last season, Hibs, I thought, or they'd sign players, we'll come on to that, and Dundee United looked like they'd signed really well and had like a much better manager than they had the previous season. So I thought, well, those probably are the six biggest clubs by budget, and they all look to have probably strengthened in the summer, therefore that we won't have this just amorphous blob of a mid-table that we had last season, but the blob's back. I mean, you know, there's however many points between the 12th and third, really. So that is back. But yeah, I thought Dundee United would be top six. I had them as sixth, but I thought they would be, you know, comfortable sort of top six, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It's fair to say.
Graham, what did you have? Was it potentially Dylan Levitt related, or
did I predict no. Dylan Levitt to be their worst signing? Yes, I did. is that incorrect? I could argue possibly not. Dylan Levitt's signing, and I maintain this from the off, ultimately, is that I'm not convinced it's a good signing on the basis that it will have been very expensive for a guy who, if you don't punt basically now, is probably going to run down his contract and he'll leave for fuck all. So what I'm going to do is not only see my take and look at it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to double down on it and suggest that still that remains the case. I think he will ultimately end up being a bad signing. The plan, I assume, is for him to play at the World Cup, do really well, get punted almost immediately, take a big bag of cash, and then actually buy a functioning goalkeeper or a defender that's not 300 years old or a fullback to play in your back line. That won't happen. He may leave at the end of the season, but it'll be a reduced fee because no club is going to pay what they want for him. Because why would
he's not performed.
Because he's not performed and he'll be out of contract in a year. So if you really want him, just hang out until January, offer some sort of fee to get him at half price. Be fine. So yeah, I stand by that. As much as they have signed some absolute dumplings, the majority of them the majority of them were very cheap, at least to acquire, possibly not quite so cheap to actually, you know, pay. However, I maintain that and I'm doubling down on that take ultimately.
That's fair enough. Right, we'll move from the random number generator has taken us to number four, which is Hearts. I'm going to say this, mine off the bat.
Duncan, can I just stop you for a minute? How have you numbered these teams? How are Hearts number four? How are Celtic like number 12? What is going on here?
No, Celtic were two.
Celtic were two. How are Celtic two?
It's alphabetical.
Right, okay, good. Right, no, I was trying to figure out what way Hearts were number four on the list.
I thought Lawrence Shankland didn't have it. I thought that was going to be 500 grand down the hole. And sadly, he's actually quite good for this Hearts team, and probably is a Premiership striker.
Yes,
regrettably, he says.
I thought at the time that was a very weird argument that a lot of Hibs fans were having, given that for a significant period of time, a lot of Hibs fans were very insistent that Jason Cummings was a good player.
I'd like to say that I'm firmly, it was not in that kind of, the Venn diagram overlap was, thankfully, did not include me.
I think the Venn diagram overlap of those people are quite significant.
Yes, no, that's true.
Of guys that still think Jason Cummings could come back and do a really good job for Hibs.
Went to the World Cup, didn't he? So
well, he's the first Scotsman to play in the last 16. So
yeah, exactly.
The last 16, 32. Fuck. Regardless of the knockout stages. I thought it was very strange at the time, and I did feel like a lot of people were going to end up looking very silly there because his season at Dundee United, he was very good in a footballing sense, even if his goals didn't really stack up. And at the very minimum, with the collection of players that Hearts have, even if that's all he did, rather than the number of goals that he scored, I still thought he would be a good signing, a good facilitator for Hearts. So I'm very glad to have been proven right on that front. I, however, was proven wrong on Kai Rowles being the worst signing, which was in the middle of the mania of players, of people, of clubs signing Australian A-League players. And by that point, it's very much a case of like all these A-League guys are going to be ditties. So I suppose I was half right.
There was a moral panic. Like, yeah. Let's be honest. Like, we all got a bit carried away with ourselves. We just didn't have a handle of what was happening. There was all these guys, you know, coming through. Yeah, yeah. It was,
I said some things.
I would like to make it very clear. I there was nothing I said about immigration that I regret. I regret the influx of A-League players, which is an entirely different thing.
Anyway, I think Hearts are probably. I thought Hearts season would go more or less like this, and that they wouldn't really be able to cope when they were in Europe, but they would still be okay, and then they'll eventually finish fourth, which I think probably will still happen. I didn't think Tyne Castle would turn into the Killing Fields and they would just be like absolutely decimated. Like, I mean, it felt like they were just like all the players were allergic to playing twice a week, even though they must have done that. At times, it was just like ridiculous levels of injuries, and some of the defences they had the field were hilarious. The four fullbacks. I think they're sort of, they'd probably be quite happy with where they're sitting, given everything that's happened. But we'll need to see how they go on when, now they've got Rills presumably coming back fit, and I think Halkett's fit as well, isn't he? So, they may well kick on, but I thought Shankland was going to be good because he was actually pretty good for Dundee United. It was more that he had to shoot from the halfway line because otherwise he wasn't getting any shots. So I need him to score once, but that was pretty much it. Under Mickey Mellon, that was a very negative spell. I thought Alan Forrest would be the worst signing, and I don't think he's been that great. I couldn't really understand why everyone thought he'd be really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was the same.
It's just like, you know, he was good at Livingston. Everyone's good at Livingston. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to be good anywhere else.
He wasn't actually on my list as worth saying, but the one I got very wrong was Stephen Humphreys, because I took one look at him and was like, dumpling.
Oh, yeah, you look like a massive dumpling.
You just look like an absolute dumpling. Just in a physical sense, just as like, what you look like as a footballer is not a footballer.
Yes.
But he looks pretty handy, looks pretty useful. Yeah. Annoying,
he looks like a very specific footballer, and he looks like Ryan Stevenson. But apart from that, he doesn't look like a footballer in the broader sense.
We'll need to investigate as to whether he's been vaccinated or not, and then we'll really know.
He doesn't look like he has been to me, but you know, that's a generalisation.
On the flip side as well, I thought George Grant would be quite good, and he is not.
Yeah,
I won't stand for any Hearts insistence that he's actually quite good in the offers. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He's the same as a whole collection of other central midfielders that Hearts have seen in the past sort of like 5 or 6 years who... They're insistent and convinced that will be good. He's not.
Yeah, he really needs to lead into Jorge if he wanted to be good.
Yeah,
like call him about that. That is your name, mate. I'm sorry if your parents have spelt it wrong, but you're not called George. Yes, unless it's Portuguese, American, it should be more like George. But I've not heard any. Yeah, no commentators have gone for that. So
George Grant.
That does sum up my kind of attitude towards Hearts and their insistence on anti-flair that you would sign a player called that was clearly called Jorge, and you're going to insist on calling him George. Every Andrea signed is called Drew or something similar. So, you know, you'll have a Sunday name. We'll now go to Dingwall, to Ross County. Graham, what were your... Have you got anything wrong about Malky Mackay's collection? But basically, it's just a collection of players.
I kind of assumed that they'd continue in the vein that they did last year, and that still might be the case. They have looked absolutely rank for a big chunk of the season. Long-term listeners to the podcast might remember my Inverness face blindness, where, as far as I was concerned, Inverness had Richie Foran and then a bunch of other cunts. It's kind of how I feel about Ross County as well. Like, my predictions for best signing was Jan Danda, my worst signing was George Harmon. I genuinely don't know, mate.
They are the epitome of the Norm MacDonald sketch brought to life. I was like, Jan Danda, Jake Eastwood, Ben Purrington. Like, you know,
I really like Willie Macchio, but again, it's very little. That's essentially because I've watched a lot of tactical analysis of Willie Macchio done by himself.
he's a good character.
If all of the Ross County squad could start their own YouTube channels,
just remember who their manager is and the radicalization that can happen online. I'm a bit concerned about this suggestion.
Yeah, if they could do that, that would be really helpful so that I could maybe tell the difference between Ben Purrington and Callum Johnson.
Malky Mackay's recommended videos on YouTube.
So yeah,
it's the algorithm. Oh no, I don't think it is, mate.
It just looks the same as Telfers.
It's fine. He doesn't listen to that, so it's all right. Sorry. I think Ross County are a total crossroads at the moment. I think the break came at probably the wrong time for them in terms of they'd actually finally found out how to win games, albeit one of them was against Hibs and really shouldn't count at this stage. But yeah, my impression was that I thought that the gap between the Canadian Premier League and the SPFL Premiership should be too much. And the jury's still very much out. We're going through the planning process, I think, on that bridge, rather than saying it's approved and we're going to be moved to construction very soon.
I mean, there's the assumption that they'll do the same as they did last year and have a rough start, and then at one point they'll turn it around and be really good and go on a wee run and be very competitive. I'm not convinced that's the case. Like, their form has been pretty poor. They won a couple of games before the break, which is weird. Like, if you've got 15 points and you win two games in the three games before the break, then that's, without that, I don't know, it's a daft thing to say, without that, you're looking pretty grim. Of course they did, but I'm just not convinced by any of them, really. They don't look particularly defensively sound. They don't look particularly threatening attacking-wise, and there doesn't seem to have the sort of identity that they had last year. I don't know whether it's something Motherwell did when Stuart McCall left, when Stuart McCall tried to rebuild, was essentially just try and replace the players with the same type of players, and it just didn't really work because you can't plug and play footballers like that. It doesn't work like that because everyone's got their own foibles, however they come across. So it doesn't really work like that, and I'm not quite sure if I never get the impression that they have a really firm identity in the way that they did in certainly the second half of last season.
Yeah, they've not replaced like Hungbo and Charles Cook, really, and they were Ross County to a large extent going forward, at least last season. So they're not as good a team. I sort of thought, just because of the way they'd recruited, or way Mackay, to be honest, had recruited last summer, that these guys I hadn't really heard of would be good, but that's just basically not been the case. So, I thought they'd be like seventh, I think I had them down as, so like probably best of the rest in terms of all the teams with maybe slightly smaller budgets, but that doesn't seem like that. I don't know if I think they'll go down, but it's definitely a possibility.
I think they're well in that conversation.
From Ross County we'll go to Paisley to St Mirren. I'm going to stick mine out first, which was, so I watched them get played off the park by Airdrie in the League Cup, and I was dead set. I was like, this is a team that is playoff bound, if not relegation. Like, just like it was the problems that you always thought maybe existed in Stephen Robinson's team, that he would maybe just piss everyone off. It wasn't a case like, you know, I've watched League One teams beat Premiership sides, and it's kind of been a bit of, not necessarily by hook or by crook, but you know that they've had to stay lucky, to be honest. That this was a team that just it was playoffs in League One last season, who outplayed, who outfought, who outmanaged in terms of the game, with a 29-year-old centre half also playing as also player manager, you know. They had four subs on the, like Airdrie were really had not a lot going for them, and they absolutely battered St Mirren, and you were just like, this doesn't bode well. So I've been completely wrong about that, because actually the St Mirren have turned out to be semi useful. You know what I mean? Again, the only team that's beaten Celtic and stuff like that. But you, if you told me that team back on that night in July were going to win, we're going to be where they are now and have picked up the only defeat on Celtic, I would have been utterly shocked, because it was a team of absolute nothing.
Yeah,
apologies to buddies.
It's always been like that's kind of always been how Stephen Robinson's teams tend to go, and they are very streaky, and when it works like it's meant to work, it's really good and they're really competitive, and that the game against Celtic was the perfect example of that, and that they just were everywhere. They were on top of everybody, and when it works, it's great. But the problem with it is that if one guy or two guys within that team have an off day, then that's the case. And at the start of the season, it felt like one or two guys weren't having an off day, like seven, eight of them were having an off day on that day. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I had them finishing 11th. So yeah, absolutely fair enough. And it's guys like Mark O'Hara that will be the defining factor in their season. Like, Robinson seems to have them all on
never
site.
Where you want, and that's well, no, just, where you want.
But that's if the way in which that team plays, it needs guys like him to be brave and be on the front foot and be aggressive with their pressing, because as soon as they drop off, then you will get picked apart ultimately. The signs, some of the signs they've brought in as well, like the boy Bacchus is absolutely top drawer, really, really good player. And the
strain as well, I think, from
the wing back strain as well. I remain baffled as to how Natty Atkinson went to the World Cup and Ryan Strain didn't. So yeah, both of them very, very good. Broadly a pretty good team. I had Declan Gallagher down as the worst signing, but that's just a bitterness. I'm not sorry.
It's welcome. It is absolutely welcome.
Not sorry.
Yeah, no, I'd add them down as 11th as well. I had, for their worst signing, I had a guy called Tayosi Olusanya. I've never heard of him. I don't know how I predicted him as worst signing. I'm not aware of him doing anything all season. Has he played for them? I don't know. But I don't know how that's going to go. But he's generally speaking, I think they've done all right. And I actually I would revise my prediction now, is that I think they should really be finishing top six with the team they've got.
Yeah.
Having watched them, but whether they will or not, they might just do a classic sort of submit and not quite make it. But
they'll be really close going into the final game of the set before the split, and we've all seen that film before.
What I've enjoyed most of all has been the resurgence of Trevor Carson and his return to playing first team football. I absolutely loved Big Trev when he was with us. He is a significant,
he's so unlucky with injuries, hasn't he?
And like, it's not even the injuries he's had have just been like the most
weird one. You know, deep vein thrombosis. Yeah. Which is,
there was an article about that. There's I think it was in one of the papers about how, like, basically, because he was on so many blood thinners and stuff, like if he like bumped his head in the cupboard, something along those lines, then he had to go to hospital because like his blood was so thin and it was so dangerous for him to lead to all sorts of different things. Like, see, just living like that sounds fucking exhausting. So to do that, to then get back to playing, to then spend a bit of time with Dundee United, who, I mean, as it turns out, should have kept him. We should have kept him. Both teams could have benefited enormously from Trevor Carson this season. Delighted to see him back playing football and being back to probably as close to his best as he is likely to get. Yeah, so delighted for Trevor Carson. And I hope that they finish below us, but I doubt it.
So, just by timeliness, and obviously there's always connections, going to Motherwell, going to your team, Graham. What did you get wrong about Motherwell this season?
Nothing. Legitimately not. At this point of the season, I realise it's not the halfway point of the season, but it's the split within the season. I had predicted Motherwell would finish 9th. I predicted that Paul McGinn would be our best signing and that Josh Morris would be our worst signing. I'm willing to listen to any arguments against either of those things being true, or any of those things being true, because the league position you can't argue with. If we finish 9th at the end of the season, I will be genuinely delighted, because we are a disaster. So yeah, good. Absolutely nailed it across the board.
Fair play. I had you down as 9th as well, but I think when we made these predictions, it was just before the season started. So I think everyone had you had to predict who was going to get sacked first, and everybody put Graham Alexander because he was literally minutes away from getting sacked at the time. It was like, get that in. That's one prediction correct. But I think if I'd known then that you were going to replace Alexander with Stevie Hamill, I think I might have predicted relegation, because I thought it was a pretty poor appointment. Could still be the case, but I thought, I assumed you would appoint somebody with a bit more of a track record, obviously. And Hamill's probably done better than I expected so far, without shooting the lights out by any stretch. But considering what he had to work with, which was
nothing.
Great Alexander's collection of misfits. Then I think he's done all right. And I suppose it would just be to what extent there's any scope to change things around in January.
The only argument for best signing that you could make is that Matt Penny has been by a distance our best player, but he's probably away at the end of January, so probably doesn't count as our best signing for the season. But that's about the only one within there as well. And you could also make an argument that Rolando Arons as a worse signing than Josh Morris, given that he played about 7 minutes and then his legs exploded. So never played for us again.
Well, seems fair enough. I really didn't have anything from Motherwell on this. I don't think, I was just like, I just didn't, you know, that madman meme where he's like, oh, I feel sorry for you. He's like, I don't think about you at all. That was kind of my thing on Motherwell at the moment. I was just like, sometimes.
Duncan, you say that, but I'm getting well in Tony's head, which we'll just get into the rest of the hip support at this point. So I'm just going to continue that for as long as I can, really.
Yeah, well, and likewise, another club where I don't really necessarily have a huge amount to say is Kilmarnock, the next team on our list. I think that they've done what I kind of expected them to do. I think there wasn't ever going to be the Derek McInnes when he was at Aberdeen, there was like a noticeable like zip up, like, you know, in terms of like, you know, because they were at such a low ebb. He came at Kilmarnock, you know, when they were underperforming but not disastrously in the Championship, and he's not been given the resource, same sort of resources he had at Aberdeen. So it is, I think that McInnes is a very capable manager. The issue is that it's not going to be the same. He'll probably leave Kilmarnock in a better place than he found it. But I suppose my thing was, this is more that was in hope and expectation, but I wanted Christian Deutsch to work out, but sorry, my hat trick boy.
I was very McInnes pilled by all this. I had them as seventh, kind of best of the rest in the bottom six, and again, still entirely plausible, but they have very limited squad of players. All the nonsense around Lafferty getting his, however many game ban as well, is not what anybody needed at Kilmarnock as well. And I kind of feel that a collection of the signings that that McInnes made haven't really worked out in the way that he hoped. I had Kerr McEnroy as my best signing in there, and I was hoping
a big impact.
I thought he was going to have a big impact on them. He's looked great everywhere else he has been on loan, but again, it's a lower level, and it kind of felt like he was ready to make that step up. Hasn't he really done it? I know Kilmarnock generally seem like a much better team when Jordan Jones plays for them as well, but he's been very in and out of the side as well, and it just feels like nothing. Like the two fullbacks that he brought in have looked pretty good in bits and pieces as well, but again, if your best signings are two fullbacks,
it's time to go home.
I sort of did wonder why people thought they were going to be good, and then I think the answer
is Craig Anderson.
Yeah, he's right about most things, but his own football team, I think it was, as you said, people being McInnes pilled. Like, it was just an assumption that Bob McInnes knows what he's doing, and he's a really good manager for a team of Kilmarnock stature, so therefore they will do well. But it's just that they've still got a Championship team, I think, really.
Yeah.
And they were maybe one of the poorer Championship winning teams.
Definitely.
Of recent years. So I didn't see, you know, bringing guys like Alan Bauer back, I thought, well, that's not, I mean, I don't think he'd been that great at St Mirren. So I thought they would, I still don't know if I think they'll get relegated, but what we all want is for them to lose a playoff final against Ayr. That would be tremendous.
I just want to see a playoff final at Somerset Park. Every team that is an Ayrshire derby, it's absolute chaos, and I just want to see a playoff final at Somerset. I don't particularly care who wins it. I would just like to see that scene.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, what would happen is probably that the first game would be a narrow Ayr win, and then Kilmarnock would absolutely batter them at Rugby Park, like 4-0 or something. But we'd all like to see it. So hopefully that happens. But yeah, I think I had them down as 10th, and I think they'll be around about, I think if they're not 10th, then they're probably going to be 11th or 12th, I would say.
From there to St Johnston.
To all the St Johnston fans, we are who you think we are, and that we all predicted St Johnston. Like, everyone bar, I think, Tony, predicted St Johnston to finish last. Sorry, Tony and Craig Cairns predicted St Mirren to finish last. Everyone else predicted St Johnstone to finish last. I'm sort of sorry about that, but also St Johnstone have been terrible.
Yeah.
But still, the Rangers, of course.
But somehow, they're not. They still aren't good, though. They aren't good.
No.
And yet, is it just the rest of the league?
These dogs of war.
Yeah. But I suppose if, like, their defenders look better this season than last season. And maybe that's made a bit of a difference.
Mitchell has been a very good signing.
Yeah, he's a good player. They should have got points off Celtic as well. Fucking Dre, right?
You know, you lose someone of the caliber of Xander Clark, but you replace him with someone in Remy Matthews who is of, like, as good as you can get as a goalkeeping long. It's just like competent. Goalkeeping signing.
Like, yeah.
Like, you've signed, I would argue that Remy Matthews is the most competent goalkeeper within the league. Like, he's just sensible. There's very little that...
However, I don't know if you saw the news this week that Elliot El Paz Parrish is the new goalkeeping coach at St Johnstone. So that could well change. Could not survive this potentially.
I reckon that's a sensational appointment, given that all the very best goalkeeping coaches seem to be made up of absolutely dumpling goalkeepers. Like, Stevie Woods has been at Celtic and of a high standing for like 2 decades now or something. Yeah, Stevie Woods was howling. He was atrocious. I remember as a kid turning up at Fir Park and being devastated that Stevie Woods was still fucking there. I reckon El Paz will go on to have a very successful goalkeeping coach career.
He must be good. I mean, he must not be like good in the dressing room or something, because otherwise his career makes very little sense. So maybe he's just a natural coach.
I want to say my mea culpa is Nicky Clark has bent right up me, because that was just a ridiculous, like, it felt like it was a ridiculous, a pointless transfer of a man who doesn't do much for Dundee United is going to go and sign for St Johnstone and not do much for them. And yet he has been responsible for how many points this season for St Johnstone? Like, and also not just that, in terms of goal score, has actually looked effective.
Stevie May is a much better player beside him as well. Mm-hmm. Like, basically every signing that St Johnstone have made has showed me up at some point over the season. Like, Considine has been okay, Dre Wright has been okay, apart from that moment. Kane scored against Motherwell. Montgomery's looked really good at left wing back. Jimmy Murphy scored against Motherwell as well. Ryan McGowan has looked very capable basically everywhere they've deployed him. Alex Mitchell felt like a signing because all of their signings come from Millwall for some reason or other. But again, he just looked like another, like, just like dull signing. Oh, that's someone that's available from Millwall. He's been great as well. Nicky Clark, as you say, another one in there as well. Like, basically all of them have shown me up this season. And as much as I said at the start of this, St Johnstone haven't been any good, still sitting very, very comfortably and don't look like an easy team to beat. So, fuck's sake.
And now to a team that make me regularly say fuck's sake. It is Hibernian Football Club, who where to even start. But it's just been all not very good. And for audio viewers, you've not just seen Graham looking very, very happy.
They're not good. What I'm enjoying is that at the start of the season, I thought Hibs were going to be atrocious. And then kind of at the last minute, Martin Boyle drops into your lap and you go, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, you can play 10 other cunts in Martin Boyle and you will be a threat at various points within the game. You'll pick up enough points to be good. Now that Boyle's out for the rest of the season, it's almost like we get to play the what if game, but in real life, because it's not a what if game, because you're going to see what Hibs short of Martin Boyle is. And my assumption is
relegation candidates.
Bad. Real bad, because there's no one within that squad that can replace him. McCurdy, in his super brief appearances, looks like he might offer something within that Hibs side. Or alternatively, might take the hump and just never play again for Hibs. It's a real, like you said, Ross County being a real crossroads for them. The first three games coming back for Hibs are going to be
the next difficult. Hibs have got, like, it's an absolute rotten. You look at Hibs fixtures, it doesn't really get comfortable at all. Because we come back Thursday, we play Rangers, which is good. That's always a laugh. If you're going to have a home fixture, who would you least like to face? Oh, it's fucking Livingston.
I feel Livingston in, like, what was it? Doyle scored his hat trick in the game where Livy basically didn't turn up.
We're usually all right at home, so maybe that might be okay. But then we've got Celtic at home, Hearts away, and then we come to play you, Motherwell, televised on the 8th of January. Then we maybe potentially get a respite against Dundee United at home, but I wouldn't necessarily say that. And then we play Hearts in the Cup. Johnson can, if we get a doing in either of those derbies, knives are out for him. As Tony said, there's a possibility we could be getting to that Dundee United game or Motherwell game, with that racking up 7, 8, 9 losses. You cannot come back from that. That is sacking form, regardless of where you are. And I don't see the improvements that that Johnson is talking about. And that coupled with just fucking rank, it's not even rank rotten, because there's just a complete confused signing policy. It's just all over the shop. It's a supermarket sweep. There's absolutely no strategy or vision or anything like that going through it all. It's like, that's going cheap. Yeah, we'll take that. Like, just knocking stuff into that and hoping it works. And yet we still are kind of without a... We got lucky that Rocky Bashiri's turned into a player.
You're still playing Lewis Stevenson and Paul Hanlon.
We're still playing Lewis Stevenson in midfield sometimes. We didn't sort out central midfield, which was a problem on... When me and Tony left after we beat St. John's 4-0 with a fucking James Scott hat trick on the last day of season, we literally went to the pub and talked through what positions Hibs need to improve on, and the top one was a centre midfielder. And have we improved that situation at all? No, we got in. We're paying Noah Kenny $5,000 a week to look like an academy player. So what was I wrong about? where to start?
You trusted Deneen Gordon.
I'd say I didn't think Mykola Kurevicic would be up for much, and he's been absolutely brilliant. And actually, is a player I enjoy watching. That is the glimmer of hope that I have now with this season, is that he will just keep scoring goals, because without Martin Boyle, we are fucked. Aidan McGeady's coming back. That's going to solve the problems.
Yeah, with Kukurevich, he's sort of the opposite of Humphreys, in that I also thought he'd be rubbish just because he looks too much like a footballer. You know, sometimes players look like you look like a footballer, mate. You can play, and then it turns out you can't actually play football. For example, or I would say like Jack Hendry before when he was at Celtic, people just he looked like a centre half, but couldn't actually play centre half. He's grown into it.
We got around that, but I think that was sign was allowed because we signed so many players who do not look like footballers. I'm particularly looking at you, Jai Tavares, and Momodou Bojang. Never Rainbow mind FC Will legend. Fish. So Will Fish.
You can't sign somebody from Rainbow FC.
On loan. Like that,
Try before you buy.
Nope. I had Hibs at 10th. Would you take that today, Duncan?
Yes, I would. I know a lot of Hibs fans wouldn't and still think we could potentially finish third, but they're deluding themselves.
They could split the old firm.
Give me a bet on that. A very drunk Hibs fan before the season started. Yeah, bet that they would split the old firm, £20. So that'd be...
I think you could go and claim that right now.
I had David Marshall's best signing, so that seems fair enough.
No, it's good. I like Marshall. He's been, the calm confidence.
I did. Ewan,
it doesn't really help if you've got absolute dog shit in front of you.
Yeah, I thought Ewan was going to be good, I have to say. And that's really not transpired.
It's not really borne out. Again, a lot of these players, they've got the attributes to threaten to be good, but I mean, that's still far too many steps to actually be good in the Scottish Premiership. So it's a bit annoying. And I'm going to congratulate myself by we're going to move on, and I've not mentioned anything about Ewan Henderson, which is good. So final club, Aberdeen Football Club.
Yeah, good for them. Good for the Dons. Good for them.
Yeah,
I had them at fifth place. They're slightly overperforming that. I still think they'll finish fifth.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Who's finishing fourth then? Who do you think could be above them?
Hearts in third, and I think Livingston are just going to slog it until the end of the season. I think they'll just do enough to keep their head above water, just that wee bit ahead. I think they've got enough about them to just slog it out and compete with everybody on every single weekend. And I think this is the season that they'll do it. Aberdeen, I reckon the first cash offer that comes in for Miowski, he will be gone out the door with the dust trail behind him.
I have to say, I thought he was going to be pish. And I'm still, I refuse to accept I'm wrong on that one. Just because I don't care how many goals he scores, he's so one-footed that it annoys me. He has no right foot whatsoever, which I just think as a striker is like, it's just annoying, because you know, chances will always fall to your bad foot and you've got to at least be able to swing at it, which you can't really do. It seems like Aberdeen are going to hoodwink somebody to spend money on him. So
I hadn't realised I thought he was a bit older than he was as well.
He's quite young, yeah.
23, scoring a bunch of goals in your first season in a completely different league. You've come in, you've adjusted well, you're scoring kind of all sorts of goals apart from ones with your weak foot. I think there's a good chance that somebody will come in and chuck money at him, which is cool, because I'm not convinced Aberdeen are smart enough to reinvest that well. And if you take him out of the team, I'm not convinced they have enough other options.
Duke's good, but whether he's a value scorer.
Absolutely sensational value to watch, but I'm not convinced he'll poke as many away as Miowski will.
So that Duke is my one in terms of what I did not see coming was the fact that that a Scottish club, non-old firm Scottish club, could sign someone for $400,000, and they're kind of treated like a cult. He's almost like a figure of like not fun, but like, I don't know, I'm not very describing this very well, but there seems to be not any expectation on the fact they've signed someone for $400,000 because they've spent more on Miowski. And so you're just like, they're just like, well, this guy's fun.
Duncan, it's the Northeast, right? you need to couch everything in the fact that it's the Northeast. So spending $400,000 on something for a bit of a laugh, it's fairly standard, I think. It's just what they do up there. It's not news, it's just what they do.
Fair enough. I also thought Kel Roos was going to be rubbish, and he's apparently been the best goalkeeper in the league this season statistically. I also think I'm going to be proven right about that as well. So, because he's had his whole career has been like good and then spectacularly shite and then dropped, and I'm waiting for the spectacular shiteness, which I hope is in the post.
I had Jaden Richardson as my best signing, simply on the basis that I know he's pals with Charlie Dunn, and I love Charlie Dunn, and that was about the limit of my thinking for that entirely. So yeah, that was probably a little bit off as well, but they have been good. They have been good. I think they should be more points clear ultimately, and everyone else has kind of struggled to a degree, and their away form has been pretty ropey. To only be 4 points clear of Hearts after Hearts have been, I think Hearts fans would quite happily admit we've not had a good season so far. I think Hearts as a club would admit we've not had a great season so far, but there's context to it. So at this point of the season, to only be 4 points clear feels like a kind of missed opportunity for them when nobody else has been particularly good.
I think it's an emerging theme that no club has really taken the opportunity from Hearts being the walking wounded plus playing an extra 8 games off intensity as well.
Yeah.
But and I'm glad that glad we've now got the new SPFL slogan going there, waiting for the spectacularly shite. So I think that sums up exactly what we're feeling about going into Thursday and the weekend's games. So I'd just like to say this opportunity to thank Graham and Ewan.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
And there'll be plenty of stuff as ever on the Patreon Terrace Pod. No, that's not. It's patreon.com/Terrace Podcast. Would suggest that you sign up there. There's podcasts going up daily, doing all sorts of good and interesting stuff. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. And I would say enjoy your football, but let's be honest, that's not what we're here for. That's not what we're here for. But anyway, take care and thanks for listening. Bye.
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 Podcast Network.